And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. This is Paul speaking. He warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom, will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul makes this statement, but I do not count my life of any value, not as precious to myself. You know, I've read this many times and thought about it, and as we think about who we are and our value, as we think about a variety of things related to that, we think of statements like this by people in the Bible. Now, you know, you come to this statement by Paul where he says, I don't count my life of any value, and we realize that there are times that people take statements like this and they make them what they should not be. They take them out of context, and so they say, well, my life's of no value. God says that in the Bible. Paul says it. So it's true of me too, isn't it? And maybe true of these other people. There's really no value to their lives. Life really has no value. Well, we don't believe that, do we? Even though Paul says that. And we'll get to that as we move through this message today. Here in America, you know, this issue of the sanctity of life and abortion are huge issues in the political realms. You know, presidential elections make that one of the big issues that are addressed or not addressed. So, the sanctity of life. Paul says, my life's of no value to me. Well, we're going to see what that means. So, we're going to walk through the Bible a bit and look at a number of passages that talk about life and the value of life from God's perspective and what he sees and what he says. First, from Exodus chapter 21, and I'm not going to read this passage, but you can go back to that. And in your notes, it's Exodus 20. I'm sorry. It's Exodus 21. I messed up there when I was typing that. So it's actually Exodus 21. And in Exodus 21, what God is doing is God's talking about laws related to slaves and their value. And within the context of that passage in verse 23, this statement is made. If there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. So, God's coming, he's talking to the Israelites. He's setting out a law that talks about the value of life in relationship to the slaves, okay? And slavery is something that has been a part of the world since the beginning of time. And it's something that was a part of Israel's life. And so God's talking about that. And what he is saying here is he's saying that there is value to the lives of these slaves in relationship to the owner. Okay? So, and you understand that. We all understand that in our culture as well. Yo, I'm an employee here. I'm of value to you as your employee. I'm an employee at Lumber House. I'm of value to Matt and that business. So if something happens to me, if someone comes along and takes my ability to work away, you suffer, or maybe not. I'd like to think you do. Matt suffers. So the value of the slave was something that was very real. And so those owners of those slaves suffered if something happened to those slaves. So God said, a foot for a foot, an eye for an eye, etc. So there is this issue of compensation that identifies how valuable those persons were as slaves. Now, we go on. There's also value to the person being harmed, right? We'd all agree. I value my eyesight. I value my hands. You know, I couldn't have pulled that fish in very easily, Dan, yesterday, if I didn't have two hands. I would probably manage somehow. But I have value, and I am valuable to myself. And I think that's a very important thing. We're going to see that again as we walk through the scriptures, that we are valuable as persons ourselves. And then there is value to those related to the person who's being harmed. Okay? So we have a very real example of that in that Rick just passed away. Okay? Now, his life wasn't taken. Nobody murdered him or anything like that. But we see in a very literal, real way how valuable Rick was among us, just among our congregation. He was valuable to us in that the things that he did are missed. We miss him. He was of value to us. And so, the relationships that are a part of our lives in a larger way are important to understand in relationship to me valuing myself and me valuing you as well. Then we see here that God calls for restitution for harm done. One of the advertisements we see on television all the time are from the attorneys who are saying, I can help you get what you deserve. Okay? It's scriptural. All right? It's scriptural. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We have value. And when someone takes value away from us, God says that there should be restitution done for that. So this is a biblical reality that is true. Now, how far we take that or what we do with that, that's something else that we talk about at times. But that is part of what we see in Exodus 21. Now, I want to go to Deuteronomy 30, and I'm going to read this passage. Deuteronomy 30 in verses 11 to 20. And listen to what is being said here. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. This is so interesting, the beginning of this passage. It's so practical. So listen and smile. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend to heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey. So it's not something that's up in heaven, okay? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will go across the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. And no, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. Okay, God's truth, God's word, God's laws are in our hearts. Okay, That's that conscience that we have. That's that thing that brings us back and brings society back over and over and over again to truths that are God's truths that they don't necessarily acknowledge. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Interesting. Now choose life. You know the signs along the road? I'm glad my mom chose life. Right here it is. God says, choose life. You choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, another phrase here that we see, we're going to see a bit later. It says, for the Lord is your life. Okay? The Lord is your life. We're going to see that again in another scripture here after a bit. But this is that passage now from Deuteronomy in which he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death. Okay? My life. Is it of value? Absolutely it is. God has set before me life, also death. And there's a choice in relationship to that. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days. We are important. We are of value. God values us. Choose life that you may live. We have a choice. We have multiple choices every day to choose life. Life is a value. Our lives are a value. And then he says, love the Lord your God and hold fast to him, for he is your life and length of days. I've started reading C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, which is Lewis's defense or explanation of his faith. And C.S. Lewis was an atheist for many years, an atheist who finally came to realize and understand the reality of God and the truth of who God is and the fact that God is who he says he is. And it's interesting as I'm reading through this, how Lewis really acknowledges that God is life. That God is life and that God brings life to Lewis himself. And so as I have been reading that and thinking about this scripture, you know, it again affirmed for me the reality of God's truth. Okay, I want to go now to John. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And this is a familiar passage to us. And this is where, again, we're going to see this statement and reality of life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In him was life and is life. Jesus is the author of life. Jesus was there at the very beginning. Jesus was the one who created. He is the author of life. He placed value in us because of who he is as Lord and God and his creation. And after all, we're created in his image. So the value of our lives is something that's more than who we are. It's something that's bigger than just who we are. It's as big as God himself. And then we come back to Acts, this passage from Paul, in which he's talking about this. Paul makes the statement, "I do not count my life of any value, if only I may finish my course to testify to the gospel of the grace of God and proclaiming the kingdom of God." A couple of things here. Number one, Paul understood that God values us so much that he offers us his grace. Not only our Creator, but also our Redeemer. God values us so much that he offers us his grace. I need that grace because I mess up. I need that grace because I have messed up. I need that grace because I need to have a sense of hope, a hope of heaven. You know, that little boy in that film, that movie that went to heaven, and he talked about it, and he talked about the people he saw and talked about sitting on Jesus' lap. That's what God tells me is coming. And by his grace, by his love, by the reality that I am valuable to him, that's what he offers to me. Second thing, Paul understood God's provision of his kingdom because God values us so much. And that's what we're just saying. God's kingdom is for us. Those who believe, those who have received salvation, those who have accepted God's grace. Then thirdly, Paul truly understood the value of his own life. He understood that he was redeemed. As one of God's redeemed, I am valuable. Paul understood that. And then Paul also understood that he had value as a servant of God. We began in Exodus and Deuteronomy with God establishing laws in relationship to slaves. Okay? We're coming now to Paul and to us. Who are we? We are servants of God. We're servants of Christ. How does God look at us as his children, as his servants, as people who serve him? We are of great value. Think back. If someone takes a foot or an eye, there needs to be remuneration for that. Why? Because the slave is of value. God is our Lord and our God. We are of great value to him. And he has redeemed us. And we are his servants. We are servants of God. Then fourthly, Paul admonishes us to understand our own value. Okay, in this passage that I read from Paul, Paul says to the church, he says, pay attention to yourself. Now, Paul says, I count for nothing. But he's saying to the church, you pay attention to yourself. There's a double standard there, I think. But Paul says, you are important, you have value, pay attention to yourselves. Folks, that's why you're here. That's why we're here. We need to pay attention to ourselves. And this is a part of that paying attention to myself and who I am as God's servant, as a child of God. And Paul says, pay attention to yourselves. And then he says, care for the church. So, first of all, Paul says, you are valuable. You need to see that. You need to pay attention to yourself. And then he says, the church is of value. Those people around you, those other Christ followers, of value. Care for the church. Folks, that's a responsibility that's given to all of us, not just me as pastor. It's interesting. in our Sunday school class this morning. One of the conversations in that movie was the church board with this pastor, and they were going to fire him because they didn't like what he was talking about in relationship to what his son experienced in heaven. And so I stopped the film for a bit and just wanted the kids to interact with me in regard to that. And, this whole thing of, they're going to fire him because he isn't doing what he's supposed to do or what we think he's supposed to do. And so I asked the kids, I said, well, what's a pastor supposed to be? And in the movie, the pastor, they talked about him being a leader, and they said he wasn't a leader. And so Savannah said, well, pastors aren't leaders. And I thought, oh, interesting. A perception of a teenager in relationship to how I see myself and really who am I or who am I not. Okay, in a sense, I'm a leader. But the thing that I took from Savannah's comment is this. All of us need to be leaders. All of us need to care for each other. All of us need to care for the church. We all need to have that sense that there's some responsibility that's on my plate for who not only I am, but for who we are. And I think that's what Paul's talking about here as well. So how valuable are we? Well, God has obtained us by the blood of Jesus. It says a lot, doesn't it? We are of value, great value to God. Life is valuable because, and I offer several things that I'm sure you could add to, but number one, God created and creates life. How life is valuable because God created, okay, number one, in the past, God created, but it's important, I think, for us to see that God is creating daily. There's creating that happens daily that God's involved in relationship to our lives. The things that you do or don't do. Yesterday, I went with Dan. We went fishing in his boat, and we got there, and it wouldn't start. And I said, well, you maybe need to prime it. So he primed it, got it started. We got 100 yards from the shore, and it stopped and couldn't get it started. So I grab the paddle, and I start paddling. And then there's a boat comes along, hey, can you help us? Yeah, and he came by and towed us back. So Dan, being Dan, starts to look at what's wrong here. And he discovers that the gas line is broken. And so what does Dan do? If it would have been me, I probably said, oh, get the truck and we'll pull it out and we'll take it and we'll get it fixed and come back another day. No, Dan pulled his pocket knife out and he proceeded to fix it. You see, we are creative people because God is a God who created us in his image, and he's a God who is creating through us. So when Dan fixed that item on that boat, Dan was showing the value of who he is as God's created person and was creating. You do it all the time. Every one of us does it all the time in a variety of ways. And we need to see that and acknowledge that and appreciate our value. Life is also value because God offers redemption. And thanks be to the Lord. Our lives have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We might have been one of those persons who would take our own life because we lost that sense of purpose and joy, that sense of peace that God brings, that sense of value that God has for us. God redeems us. God has made us something more than we were. God has redeemed our lives. We are of value. A third thing, we find value in caring for ourselves and serving God and others. And I can't speak for any one of you. I can only speak for myself. I find value in caring for myself. What do I do to do that? How do I care for myself? Well, there are many ways. I go to the doctor, and the doctor tells me, Dale, you need to do this, this, and this. I do about three-fourths of that. There are things that I don't do as much of as the doctor says I should. And according to Margaret, I don't drink enough water. But I care for myself, and I drink some. And I try to do the things that show care for myself. And that, when I value myself, when you value yourself, you're going to do things that help you be healthy and be people who then are able to do the next piece of this. So I find value in caring for myself and in serving God and others. I find value in serving you. I find value in going with Dan on his maiden voyage. Serving, being a part of. I find value in the work that I do here at the lumberyard. Mark and I and Eddie just put in these plants out here, and Mark's been watering them faithfully. I put a little sweat equity in there. That's important. I value that. To be able to do that, I often say to Mark, and I often pray, Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm able to work, that I have the opportunity and am able to work. And that's of value to me. And then serving is of value, giving myself for other people. Paul says, these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. Paul wants them to know why he did what he did. He worked while he was preaching. He provided for himself and the group of people that were with him. And then he says, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We have value just because we're God's created people. We also have value because of our relationships with each other. We have value in the things that we do. Paul had purpose. Paul's life was of value to us. Think about it. Paul says, I don't count for anything, but yes, sir, Paul, you do count for a lot. What you wrote in Scripture and has become Scripture is valuable to me as a person who wants to know God and wants to know how to live. So, Paul, you were valuable to me, even when you didn't know it. So what was Paul saying when he said, I don't count my life of any value? I think what Paul was saying was what I sometimes say too. I think Paul was saying, I'm just a humble servant. I'm nothing. There's nothing about me that's worth anything. I'm just a servant. So I think Paul was taking on what I would call a false humility. I do it. I think we all do it. We do something for someone, and they say thank you, and say, oh, no problem, no big deal. We do it, don't we? I think that's what Paul's doing here. I think Paul's trying, is just being humble. He's saying, I'm really of no value, when we know that's not true. Because he was of great value in many ways. And what I want us to understand today is that we are of great value. Great value to God, great value to each other, great value to ourselves in relationship to life and living. So maybe the next time that you do something for someone and they say thank you, maybe rather than saying, oh, no problem, it's not a big deal, you know, say thank you, appreciate that. I'm glad I could be helpful. Just a little bit different perspective, a perspective that understands that I'm valuable. You're valuable for many reasons. We're going to close today with a hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. Take my life and let it be, Lord, not consecrated to me, but consecrated to you for all the reasons you want it to be.